This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This is a Power Talk with myself and Nhlanhla Sihume as the clock hits 10:15. Welcome to yet another exciting installment of Power Talk, delving into critical issues shaping South Africa's political landscape, notably this morning. And today we turn our focus to these recent developments. And as mentioned in my intro, the Progressive Caucus, a significant political alliance that at its height comprised seven parties, the EFF, Al-Jamaa, UDM, the UAT, the African Transformation Movement, as well as the PAC and Umkhonto weSizwe. However, in the surprising turn of events in recent times, some of these parties having exited the so-called Progressive Caucus and joined the Government of National Unity on June 19, 21 and 23, respectively, days running concurrently where we saw this movement of these political parties. And the Progressive Caucus collectively holding approximately 30% of the seats in the National Assembly. I mean, these departures could significantly impact the political dynamics in South Africa as well. To help us unpack this or these developments and their implications, we are joined by Dr. Levi Ndo, who's a political analyst and lecturer at the Tshwane University of Technology. A pleasure to have you on the program, Dr. Ndo.
Good morning to you. Good morning to the listeners. Thank you for having me.
So as we begin our discussion, how do you interpret the recent defections from this so-called Progressive Caucus to the GNU? And what are the possible motivations behind these moves, at least from what you observe?
Quite expected. Remember, Nhlanhla, the period that is given to political parties to constitute government is quite very short. It's only 2 weeks. And in a situation where you had no outright winner, you have a lot of emotions, you had a lot of anxiety, you have excitement, and you have got people who are not happy about the election results. Mm. But the focus would be to all of them to ensure that there is government and the machinery of the state is functioning. And when I was listening to the announcement by the Progressive Caucus at the time, when there was the election of the Speaker, the Deputy Speaker, and the President, I could sense emotions that you appear to have done well with the processes of government and the establishment of the GNU, but as the different political parties were forming something called the Progressive Caucus, and if you have to talk to us, you need to talk to us as a collective. You don't talk to us separately. Fast forward, the message that was coming from the ANC very consistently was that all parties are invited to the GNU so that they should make a contribution in building South Africa and moving South Africa forward. Mm. And I think some of the members of the Progressive Alliance took that message and they wanted to make a contribution. And of course, there are very important points that have been raised by the party like the EFF that said that they could not be able to join the GNU because there is the Democratic Alliance and the Freedom Front Plus. At the same time, the DA had vowed that they would not want to see the ANC working with the EFF. And in the past, they once declared that the EFF is their political enemy number one.
Yeah.
So obviously, if that has not changed, you should therefore expect that wherever there is a DA and EFF, there might not be a very peaceful working relationship. But I think it's important to note that anything can still change. We might still see more other parties going to join the GNU, we can still see some not joining, but it appears as if the door remains open for parties to go and join the GNU. And maybe that is why, because parties are joining the GNU one by one, it could be the reason why we don't even have cabinet after a very, very long time that elections have been declared.
So as we keep on looking at these developments, Dr. Ndo, what impact do you foresee these, call it defections, having on the strength and influence of this progressive caucus, especially in the National Assembly?
Unfortunately, it will create a situation where some parties are isolated from this GNU, and there could be many perceptions that people might develop. Firstly, each political party is established to make a political impact in society. When you contest elections as a political party, you contest because you want to access state power and influence. And now that there's no party that got a 50+1% of the vote, then it's an opportunity for all political parties to come in and participate, especially when they're being invited. Some might feel that if you are being invited into the GNU, your impact could be quite minimal, and it might not add value. And some might say it's the right opportunity to go and deal with issues that you, as a party, you believe in, issues that you raise in your manifesto. This is the right opportunity for you to go there and make a contribution. Others would say, and I think that's the view of most people, that it appears as if some political parties are very comfortable as an opposition,
yeah,
rather than running the state machinery and taking full responsibility of moving South Africa forward. But some will say, without a full mandate, we might not be able to execute our own programs and policies, because we'll always be disturbed or prevented by other political parties that we're working with.
But Dr. Ndo, when you look at all that's happening, do you believe that the shift will indeed affect the policy direction and also the legislative priorities of the Progressive Caucus? If so, how? Because when you look at some of these parties, like the MK party, for instance, we don't know much about the policy direction that they wish to take.
We appear to be convinced that the Progressive Caucus bloc are people who believe in the same ideologies. We appear to be convinced that people that are in the Progressive Caucus agree on everything, and that might not be the case. So it will therefore also require a lot of consultation amongst those that are in the Progressive Caucus, and also at the same time develop strategies on how they approach issues in the National Assembly. But another aspect that could be we need to look at could be that who is in charge of the Progressive Caucus?
Right.
Because where you've got a group of people, obviously you should have a leader. So who is the leader of the Progressive Caucus? So those are the issues that we still have to grapple with. But at the same time, it's also important that even though political parties would not be in agreement on a number of issues, it's important that the members of parliament should constantly ensure that they play or execute their oversight role and ensure that there is accountability on the part of those that are given responsibility to run government. And I would expect that those that are in the Progressive Alliance want to maintain their status as an opposition and make sure that there is accountability on the part of government.
But how might the remaining members of this Progressive Caucus then strategize to regain their influence and cohesion? Because like you mentioned, at this point, we don't even know who's leading this Progressive Caucus.
I think, in Nhlanhla, there's another aspect that we need to look at.
Yeah.
there is an assumption that when there is a government of national unity, then there will not be accountability because everyone will be part of government. The establishment of different committees in parliament is created to ensure that there is accountability on the part of executive. That is part of accountability. And when people belong to different political parties and they are given responsibility in government, they also exercise oversight over each other, and accountability is also strengthened, even when you are in the GNU. So I don't think it's entirely correct that the level of accountability is going to be lower. But at the same time, I think what those that are in the Progressive Caucus should do would be to ensure that indeed there is accountability on the part of those that are in government. And also at the same time, they should constantly meet and also discuss issues that relate to how do they develop strategies and means to ensure that there is proper accountability on the part of government. But more importantly, either in the Progressive Caucus or not, the role of the opposition, in my view, is not supposed to change. It should always be to ensure that they exercise their responsibilities and ensure that things are done properly by those that are given responsibilities to run certain departments.
So with this response in mind, what do you believe are the potential long-term consequences for South African politics if more parties then decide to leave this Progressive Caucus?
Well, it will depend on how those who remain would love to shape their way forward. But those who will be leaving could be having sufficient reasons to, one of those being that we want to make a contribution. We have spoken to our constituencies and our members are saying, let us go and be part of the progressive, of the government of national unity. I've heard some political parties saying they've done consultations with their structures, they quickly met, and they've been given a go-ahead by their members. And of course, if you are invited to make a contribution and you don't do so, you also need to still go back to your constituencies and explain your position in a manner that your constituents will be able to understand and accept the decision that you have taken. But of course, you don't know how different constituencies would respond to the formation of the Progressive Caucus or not, because you would have obviously different views that come from followers and supporters, and that is where leadership is required to provide proper explanation and still convince the people about the decisions that they've taken.
And as we wrap up our conversation, how do you think the electorate perceives these shifts in political alliances? I mean, could this impact voter trust and confidence as well? Of course, I do acknowledge that you don't speak for the electorate per se, but from what you've observed, how would you think the public may perceive these political shifts? Could this impact voter trust and confidence?
If you recall, from 2016, when we started having coalitions getting intense in the South African body politic, what has been dominant has been the avoidance of ideology. Whatever shift that took place had nothing to do with ideology. It had nothing to do with policy programs. It had nothing to do with the interests of the people. It had a lot to do with politicians themselves seeking positions in local government. And the same appears to be the case now with the government of national unity. The reason we are not having cabinet announced is because some might have joined the government of national unity because they want access to positions of authority. And that is why there is this intense negotiations happening amongst the different political parties. So whether we like it or not, it is politicians on their own now determining the access state power.
Dr. Levi Ndo, let me thank you for your time. He's a political analyst and lecturer at the Tshwane University of Technology, really diving deep and giving this enlightening discussion about the recent defections from the Progressive Caucus and also the broader implications for South Africa's political landscape as we keep watching all of that horse trading, the negotiations happening behind the scenes. So it would seem there is going to be still a lot of movement before we do hear of an announcement of a cabinet, whether provincial level here in Gauteng or even nationally, as we wait to hear from President Cyril Ramaphosa. For now, let's get the latest in your headlines. Here's Nyaka Lotif.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.